5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The tour rolls on, y'all. Edmonton, I'll be there in a couple of weeks, September 29th through October 1st. Chicago, I will see you guys in November, the 11th and the 12th. And Grand Rapids, I'll see y'all December 9th and 10th. Get your tickets to those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Thank you again. Thank you every damn week. Thank you. This community continues to grow. You guys are the best. If you are watching on YouTube, subscribe. It is a free way to help this show, and it really works and means a lot. Wherever you are listening, subscribe. And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, where I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all. You guys have the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life. And we have an inbox of hundreds more. It's insane and it's not going anywhere. All right. It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free and you get the Honeydew a day early ad free at no additional cost. All right. If you or someone you know has a story, it's got to be heard. Please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com and hopefully we get to do an episode together. All right. The Night Pants Nation tour rolls on. Edmonton, I'll be there September 29th through October 1st. Chicago, November 11th and 12th. And Grand Rapids, December 9th and 10th. All right. Now that's all the biz right there. You guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to have this guest on the Honeydew. First time here, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Chappelle Lacey. Welcome to the Honeydew. Yes, sir, young man. Yes. Clap for yourself.
Yeah, clap.
Clap for yourself. Former cheerleader, you better fuck up.
I'm all clapped out.
thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to have you here,
yeah,
dude.
Thank you for having me, man.
Will you please, before we get into your story, plug and promote everything and anything. Oh, okay, you would like.
I got some tour dates. I got to read them.
Get them. You know that's fine. Mean? Yeah.
So October 13th through the 15th, I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina, at Good Nights, and then October 21st through the 22nd, I'll be at the Milwaukee Improv, and then November 17th, I'll be doing a one nighter at Irvine Improv.
All right. Yeah. And what about your social media? Where can social they find tickets?
Social media at Chappelle Lacey. Everywhere. Well, actually, I only do Instagram. So.
Instagram only?
Yeah. Everything else exhausts
me. You have a website?
Yes, ChappelleLacey.com.
There you go.
Yep. That's where you find out all my stuff.
Well, I'm really excited to sit down because I follow you. I'm a fan of yours. I've been following you on social media and stuff, and I see a lot of different things. I see cheerleading. I see punk rock singing. I know you were adopted.
Yeah.
But I don't know your story, so... why don't we just go back to day one for you and let's talk about your life.
It was a cold morning, January 23rd. I'm just kidding.
Is it January 23rd, your birthday?
Yeah, it is. But I don't know if it was cold because it was Arizona. But yeah, I grew up in Arizona. You know, like I said, I was adopted in my teens, but originally, you know, with my biological mom and a stepfather and then four other siblings. And, you know, it was crazy. You know, I mean, we grew up in a poor area in Mesa, Arizona. You know, not many people know, you know, much of Arizona other than Phoenix. But shout out to Jimmy Eat World because they're from Mesa. Always got to give that shout out. Hometown heroes. But then, I grew up in a crazy, crazy household. My stepfather was very, very abusive. And it was obviously tough for, you know, one to navigate as a child because you have so many questions, especially when you know this person isn't your dad. But you know,
let me ask you this: you're in a house with three other siblings,
four others,
four. So five total kids.
Five total kids,
and you all share the same mom.
So yeah, I only had one full blooded sibling, but he passed away. We'll get there eventually.
Okay.
But my three other siblings, they're my half. So they're
from him.
From him.
Got
yeah.
It. Okay.
Yep. So yeah, that's that was pretty much our household growing up.
And five kids under the age of what?
I'm the second oldest. And my youngest, the youngest was born in 92. And then the oldest was born in 85. So
you got a lot of young kids on that roof at one time. And he was abusive, huh?
Oh, yeah.
To your mom as well?
You know, he never physically, you know, touched or anything, but, you know, verbally.
Yell at her.
Just the mental, you know, abuse. You know, he made it feel like she needed him and she couldn't be anywhere. Like, I don't know, very manipulative.
What did he do for a living?
Shit, I don't know. No. Bro, he came in with different uniforms all the time. I couldn't tell you what he did for a living.
He did a lot of different
shit. That's my favorite question that people ask. Like, what did he do for a living? I'm like, what? I don't know. He made up shit.
Oh, shit.
One day he was at Burger King. Next thing you know, he was a security guard somewhere. I'm like,
oh, he's got.
Right.
I'm like, dude. New walkie-talkie.
Right. I'm like, for as hard as you work to lie about where you work, and I mean, you could have just worked a job. But no, I don't know where he worked. My mom was, you know, that was the work ethic of the house.
Okay.
You know, she was a CNA. I think the nurse's assistant. Yeah, she worked at the hospital where pretty much all of us, being all my siblings, were born at. You know, she was a CNA there. So she was, you know, at the house. Or the bread maker of the house.
Oh, she was. Huh?
Yeah, and my stepfather.
Not a collective.
Yeah, yeah. My stepfather, he was just chilling.
Yeah.
But he wasn't good at chilling. You know what I mean?
Now, what can we go back to your biological father? You know, I know we're going to get there later, but
at
that time, did you know, like, do you always remember your stepfather being the guy in your life at that age?
Yep.
You do.
I didn't know I had a biological father until I was 10?
So you thought up until 10 that this man was your biological father?
No, I didn't even think. I didn't know. I knew it wasn't my dad. We looked too different.
Okay.
But no, I didn't think of him. It's weird because I didn't even call him dad. I called him by his first name, you know, so it wasn't like, I don't know, like it was just weird. I didn't think of him as like a dad, but that was the adult in the house, you know. I didn't think it was dad, but a parent.
Was he different with you than his kids?
Yes.
He was.
Yeah.
Was he abusive to them as well?
Not too crazy. I mean, he was strong with the verbal abuse, but he never really not the way he treated me and my brother who weren't his. You know, we were, me and my brother, we had the same dad, but our dad was locked up. But okay. It's crazy. They all knew he existed, but I was the only one that didn't.
Even your brother knew at the time?
Yeah, my brother knew. Yeah, because my brother was 2 years older than me.
Okay.
And my brother, before our dad got in prison, he would see him, and he had a little bit of a relationship with him.
What was he in prison for?
attempted murder and drug dealing, shit like that.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what he's in there for.
All right. So what happens to for you to be adopted in your teens?
So it's wild. It's so much that ties to it. But I was a competitive cheerleader, right?
Okay.
And this was at 15. I started cheerleading. And
why? What got you into that?
I had a crush on this girl.
Nuh-uh.
Let's talk about it, man.
That's what got you into cheerleading.
Man, that's what got me.
Some pussy.
Yeah.
It'll
get you every time.
Got this motherfucker shaking pom-pom. And
guess what? Guess what? Never happened. Never happened. shouts out Marissa.
But I can backflip like a motherfucker.
Hey, I got that. Hey, I still got it. Still got the backflip in me.
Oh, shit, dude.
So... The competitive cheerleading is like what you would consider like club soccer. Mm-hmm. It's not through the school. It's
outside
of the thing, and you pay to do it. But the owners of the cheerleading gym that I cheered at, those are the ones that took me in.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was cheering there, and I think they knew there was something wrong, with me. I was very quiet, very reserved, and didn't talk much, and couldn't look people in the eyes really. And so and they've been working with kids for years. My adopted father, he was a teacher for a while. So, he would see all types of, children come in and out of his life. And I think he just knew immediately something was up. And, he didn't never ask detail, but just they would just take care of me.
Was this a legal adoption?
Or it
they
wasn't
just
legal.
Took you in.
They just took me in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't paperwork
no,
or anything.
No paperwork
like that.
Or anything like
Did
that.
Did they talk to your mom about this before?
No, not at all. Because my stepfather, he kicked me out.
He kicked you out.
Yeah, he kicked
at
me
15,
out.
15, you're already out?
He kicked me out at 17.
He did.
Yeah. But they started taking care of me pretty much
And your mom just what? Wasn't going against
no,
her husband at the time.
It's so weird. My mom and I recently talked about that because I didn't know how she felt. Mm-hmm. When she saw me get kicked out, because she my mom worked the overnight shift at the hospital, right? And I remember that morning very clearly. I woke up for school, and my stepfather, he was always on some shit, and then he used to do this thing where he would tough guy bump me just because he wanted to show dominance, right? I was like, bitch, I ain't scared of you. No, I'm just kidding. I was. But
was he big?
Big enough, yeah. Bigger than me now? Hell no. But when I was younger, obviously, I didn't grow yet. Wait till I grow though, motherfucker. I swear, wait till I grow.
Handspring on your fucking neck.
Right.
<bro.
laughs> So he was a tough guy, bumped me. And then one day I was just like, man, stop. Just quit it. I said something back. I was just standing up for myself. And then I remember he didn't if you talk back to him, it was a major thing. It was a big no-no. And I remember he just shoved me and just started, shoved me into my closet and just started wailing on me and stuff.
Damn.
But I was just tucked or whatever, right? And then I get out of it. I run across the street because his mom lived across the street from us. And so, which I consider her my grandma, I do even to this day. Mm-hmm. And because she was a lifesaver, whenever I'd run to her house, because he was terrified of her. Yeah, he's terrified of Bob.
Oh, there so we
she
go.
Would, she would hype
there
me out.
There we go.
I found that weak point. I was
just
like,
taking some generational shit out across the street.
Right, yeah, right, yo. I found that kryptonite. I found that kryptonite. I was like, yeah, motherfucker. I'd be hiding behind her.
She was on
her.
Your side, too.
Oh, big time. Yeah, yeah. You know, she knew how much of a nut he was, you know, but I think just, I mean, no one knew what to do, really. Like, I don't think, I mean, that type of experience and most experiences in life, I think, is first try for everybody. So I don't know. Like, you know, no one knows what to do, but also, like, it's like, you know, it's because it's like family. So it's weird. Like, I don't blame anyone for my childhood. Like, I have no animosity towards anybody, but that's just, it, you know, it is what it was, you know, and I'm here now. But, you know, so yeah, she was like, and I think one day she was just sick of it, and, you know, she tried to tell him, but he was still on his tirade. And I remember I walked back to my house, and my mom just got home from work. And my stepfather had all my stuff packed up in trash bags and had it on the stair, on the little steps right there, and then told me to leave. And I was so happy.
You were happy, huh?
Oh, my God, bro. Best day of my life.
So yeah. You go to their home?
Not immediately. I went and lived with a friend for like a hot second. And then I just told them, I don't have anywhere to go. I was like, I like, you know, doing the cheerleading and stuff like that. But I was like, I got to figure out my life because I don't have anywhere to go. And then they just, you know, brought me in.
So you got adopted by a white family.
Yeah, shouts out.
And what was that? What was the difference like for you?
Man, because, you know, they're very, like, they're all about love. They're, you know, strong Christians, you know, very into the faith.
Can I ask you one more question real
quick? Yeah, go ahead. Go
ahead. During this, are you still having a relationship with your mom? Like,
man, that was a tough one because.
Does she get what's happening or, like, is she supportive a little?
You know what? For years, I was so 50-50 with my mom. I was like, man, I don't like this lady. But I do like this lady.
But you would see her during this time and stuff.
Not often.
No.
No.
And how far away are you?
Like 20 minutes. Ain't nobody hopping and skip.
A walk.
Right? About an hour walk, you know?
And Arizona heats them
all. Yeah, right,
you know?
Right. Well, I'm like, man, and I ain't going back.
All right. Okay.
You know, so yeah, I was so 50-50 with her because, you know, like I was like, yeah, she, you know, she's with this dude. But my mom was never mean to me. My mom was always very sweet and kind.
Did you feel like betrayed? Like, how could you pick this guy over me or your kids? Did you feel?
Yeah, I did feel that.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know, I've 1,000%, you know what I mean? And
are they still together?
No, not at all. But they still have to see each other because I have a brother and I have a brother with special needs.
Okay.
So whenever like he has like doctor's appointments or anything that you know, so that's when they still have to see each other and you know just to get him stuff. But other than that, yeah, like I was pretty messed up about that, and I wanted to love my mom, but it was very tough because you know she was with that dude, you know, and she. You know, stuck with him for so long, you know, even after I was kicked out, you know,
so, I mean.
But like I said, with the recent conversation I had with her, I'd say almost a year or so ago, I never knew how she felt when she saw her son get kicked out. I didn't know what, you know, what went through her head. I didn't know. I mean, because my family wasn't a family that would talk things out. We never said, I love you in our house. Like, there was just, like, pretty much, like, just nothing. Nothing of that nature. And, you know, she had told me, she was like, you know, the day, you know, stepdad kicked you out, that's when I was, like, she was, like, plotting her way, you know, trying to figure out how to get out of the situation.
All right, so that was the beginning of her.
She was so mad. And, you know, I know it's not, like, a major move, but she was like, I made him sleep in the living room. We never slept in the same room. We were totally, like, she was checked out, but she just didn't know how to exit, you know? Because, okay. I mean, she'd been in that situation for years, you know what I mean? So
I brought you off track. Let's go back.
Go ahead.
You now move in with this family. What are the differences? Like you said, they were very Christian, very loving. How many kids do they have?
Three daughters. Yeah, they have three daughters of their own. And at the time, the youngest daughter, when I moved in, the youngest daughter, I think, was two or three. And the old, I forget all their damn ages. Forgive me. But yeah, I moved in with them. And it was a big difference. You know, like I would see them whenever the kids did something wrong, I'd be like, ooh, you about to get fucked up. Yeah. You got to get your ass whooped. You getting it coming to you. No, and then I would see them, like, talk to them. So it was like, what? Like, what is that? You know, and that's how they were with me. You know, they never, like, raised their voice, never saw any aggression. And that's all I knew. So I was always on edge. You know, I always had the guard up, you know, just ready for something to happen. You know, even when my adoptive father woke me up one time, so my stepdad, whenever he would wake me up, he would, like, shove me or, like, kick at me or something, right? So I remember one time my adoptive father tried to wake me up, and I was like, what?
Trying to get you up for a nice hot breakfast. Shit, you never had. Just trying to love you, son. Right?
Yeah, he was just like, I got oatmeal downstairs. I just wanted to wake you up. We got orange juice.
It's different
toast.
Over here. I'm sorry. It's different.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I was like, what's up, homie?
Yeah, it's funny. But you got to get unconditioned and then learn and get used to. Yeah.
It's like a
so
rescue dog.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's literally what I was. Exactly. I was a rescue.
Did you have your own room?
Had my own room, which I never had before, because I shared with all my brothers, you know, which wasn't like, that wasn't weird to me either. Like, I didn't think of us being poor like a weird thing. Mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, because even kids at my school, like, I'm like, oh, they got the same shit we got. Like,
right.
I just didn't think of, you know, us not having money as a bad thing, you know. But, yeah, it was very different. I had my own room, had a TV. I was like, damn, bro. A bed, you know, like it was just like
what
these simple things.
What
did I like the most? Damn, that's a good question. I've never been asked that. What did I like the most?
I mean, I don't want to give you answers, but, you know, were you excited to be in a loving home? Was there freedom? Was
the loving
there,
home?
The,
I wasn't.
Anxiety?
I wasn't. The loving home. I wasn't like used to yet.
Okay. That's still weird.
That's still weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's still a weird thing. I think it was just the fact that I had my own room and, like, my own space. You know, like, I just never had that. You know, I think that was, like, the cool part.
Finally,
yeah, it was like an escape, and it was the first time I was able to, like, really sit with myself in a room that was mine and decorated for me. You know, so I was just like, wow, this is trippy. You know what I mean? And I was able to sit with my thoughts a lot. And, you know, I'm a thinker. I think all the time. I just be sitting there thinking, and that's all I did on the regular.
And then this family's paying for
food.
Yeah.
Food.
Costs
everything.
For whatever these athletic things are.
Yeah,
everything. They made you their son.
Yeah, pretty much.
They did.
You know what I mean? They really did. But it felt weird. I'm not going to lie.
Did you feel like – I'm asking you this, not, I want you to know that so I'm only saying this, everybody else is going like, Jesus Christ, shut up. But my father died when I was 16.
Yep.
And my mom was already out of the family. And I remember when my dad died, people went to the store and they bought new sweatshirts for us and new clothes. And when they brought it over, they felt like they were doing the kindest thing. And I felt like a fucking piece of shit charity case.
Yes.
Did you feel that way when you first got there?
Because I mean, because you got to think, my siblings were still in that situation. I felt so much guilt. And it's weird because I knew that wasn't, like, it's almost like I wanted to go back because they were there.
Right.
Not because, you know, like, I didn't like him at all. Like, it wasn't like, oh, maybe it was my fault. Never thought that. I just thought, I was like, man, my siblings are still there. And I felt so bad. And, you know, I'm living this life that, you know, they taught me how to drive. You know, they gave me, you know, a car to drive. And
what kind of car were you driving?
It was a Hyundai Elantra. Shouts out, 99, baby.
Were you going to see your siblings, though?
You know, the only one I saw on the regular was my oldest brother.
Okay.
You know, because he was a little bit older, and he was old enough to, like, move out and stuff, and he had gotten his own place. But, yeah, he was the only one that I would see out of them. Otherwise, I didn't really see my siblings ever. You know, it was tough. It was, I mean, yeah, you just feel bad. And then I was becoming like spoiled, you know, because I mean, these people saw that I was in a screwed up situation, and these people are just being nice.
That's
they're just
what I'm
trying
saying.
To,
yeah,
they're
it's just hard. Being nice. I know. They just want to be good to you and be
but
nice.
But like, you know, all these nice things. I even ran away from my adopted folks one time. Like I remember.
Did you begin to resent them for all that?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it didn't feel good. You know? And I'm like, why am I deserving of this?
What? Authentic?
It didn't feel authentic. You know, I was like, this isn't my family. This isn't where I came from. And they're just trying to be nice. You know, they were helping out a kid, and you know, and I was a wreck. There was a lot of things that messed me up that I, you know, just never dealt with. You know, or, I mean, but it's tough. But it's like, you know, telling this kid in his late teens or, you know, mid to late teens, like how crazy his life is. It's, you know, it's a lot to process. You know, I didn't really have any guidance until like anger management. You know, anger management is where I learned a lot. You know, and I think I was able to, you know, accept a lot more because of that. You know, but yeah, you just feel this weight on your shoulders, even though you're out of this situation, because that situation I was in with my stepfather was a lot of weight. But then, you know, I feel like there was even more weight now that I'm not in this situation. And then look at the situation I'm in.
Right.
I'm looking at this house that I'm living in that has stairs.
Bro, come on, man.
Come on, talk to me, dog.
Yeah.
Right. Stairs. I'm like, man, I got stairs. You know, but it's like, even like, you know, some people may think that's funny, but that's really what I thought. I was like, man, there's stairs in the house. I've only seen that on TV. That's all. I never seen it like that. You know, so it's at least like living in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew people that had stairs in the house, but living in
but
it.
I'm going to stay here now.
But I'm in it. That was like a weird thing to me. As simple as that is, I was just like,
that's perspective, dude. For
yeah,
real.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so that it's these little things.
Did your stepfather ever try to bring you back? Bro, he didn't give a fuck.
Nah,
huh? He was so glad too then.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, but also like, I think it was this thing where he thought I was going to come running back. I was like, bro, do you know where I live? You know the house I'm in right now? No, I ain't coming back now. Yeah, he thought like, yeah, like if I, you know, yeah, he gonna need me. That's what he thought.
I gotcha.
You know,
we're making sure he knew he didn't.
Yeah, I was like, I got you.
You know, I used to tell my mother all the time because she would be like, yeah, I was like, I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this woman's beating me, talking shit to me, and I'm just like, I'll be fine. I would love to go on my own. I'll be fine. She's like, you would never make it. I was like, man, you'll see.
Dude.
I've been on my own since I was 16.
Well, that's what I'm fine. So you know exactly where that's beautiful. Because It's exactly that.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew if I had to, mm-hmm. I could do it.
You know, what's crazy about you saying this, the thing that set my stepfather off, what made him flip out on me that day, that morning as I'm getting ready for school, was when he goes, move out, get your shit. And I started packing my stuff. And then he slapped my bag out of my hand, right? And he was like, you ain't going nowhere with your simple ass, right? He said that to me. And I looked at him, I was like, I got plenty of places to go. I'm all good. And that's what, you know, that's what set it off. He didn't know where I had to go. He didn't mm-hmm. know those people.
Yeah.
He didn't know that these that's people right. were taking care of me. He didn't know
Same.
That he didn't know that there was actually good people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was it. He's like, you know, I'm all you got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so crazy you share that. Cause I feel that 100%, man. The visuals in my head of him just saying, you're never going to be nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't going to be shit.
Yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, and I don't know if you felt this too, when I thought about myself on a regular, I go, I was like, I don't think I'm a bad kid.
No. Nope.
I don't think I'm.
All the time.
Like I was just into skateboarding, going to punk shows, and, you know, I wasn't selling drugs. I wasn't right. doing.
I've never been arrested. I've been cuffed. I ain't never been arrested.
I never. You know, got in trouble with right. the cops.
I told my mother that we reconnected after like 25 years. And I was
okay,
like,
hell yeah.
Did you ever get a call from the school? Did you ever? No, that's right. Cause we were never absent enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We never fucked off enough cause we played sports. And mm-hmm. if you fucked around, you couldn't play sports.
Our
whole thing was we're getting good grades and we're going to be here every goddamn day that we can because we don't want to fuck up sports.
Yes.
If I didn't play sports, I probably would have, it would have fucking ruined my life probably because mm-hmm. with no parents at that age, it would have ruined my life. That was all we had. So it resonates hard. And what I really think looking back on it, I meant, and I think you too, like, I don't need you because what you're bringing is nothing but abuse. I don't need this.
Yeah, I don't need this.
I'll be fine without this.
Yes.
Like, if you were a good person, great.
It'd be different.
Yeah, but I don't need this.
Yes.
Yeah, so good for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, to be able to understand that, because, I mean, you know, thank the Lord for punk rock music, oddly enough, because that was the thing that got me to stand up for myself. I would read these lyrics of these dope punk songs and it was just all about like standing up for yourself and believing in what, you know, who you are. Now granted, I was a little aggressive, you know, to a lot of people. I was aggressive. But and, you know, that's where the anger management came in, you know, took care of that. But it did, you know, it did get me to, you know, be able to speak my mind and say something for myself.
All right, I asked you the thing you liked the most, which was your own room. What did you actually miss the most?
From my original home?
Mm-hmm.
Man, the thing I missed the most, my mom would always, at summertime, she'd always play these dope movies from when she was younger, and we would watch them all the time. Or even if it wasn't movies from her era, if it was just like some movie she wanted us to watch. And there's just specific movies in my life that I think when I watch that movie, I think about just summertime and my mom, you know, being home with us kids and us watching those movies. You know, one of them is Trading Places.
Hell yeah.
Man,
that's so good.
I love that.
That still holds up.
Oh, it still holds up to this day.
And then the way they give them the little love and Coming to America,
yes.
which is crazy.
Oh, yes.
I was like, oh shit, there's gonna be a new Trading Places
exactly.
when we saw that.
Yes.
And they never did anything.
You know,
they got
so
that.
She would show us a lot of like, and I fell in love with Eddie Murphy immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was like, who's that guy? I was like, that guy's the deal. You know, I just loved all his characters and stuff like that. You know, but yeah, that's the one thing I miss is like, me and my siblings gathered around and watching these movies, you know, because that was, if there's one thing I could think of, that was like probably the most wholesome part of my time with them, you know, and even TV shows. My mom loved I Love Lucy. She loves I Love Lucy. Mama's Family with Vicki Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and we would watch these shows and I'd just be dying laughing because, and I just connect with it so much. And, you know, that was one thing I thought about when, you know, I moved in with my adoptive folks. I was just like, man, and no one's ever asked me that question either. But that was the one thing I missed. It was like a bond with my siblings and my mother and my stepfather. You know, I don't remember him. I don't have memories of him in that wholesome part.
Yeah, being present.
You know what I mean? So it was just such feel good. That was like the best.
That's best. Great. What were they watching at your adoptive family's
house?
Shit,
man. I was like, bro. Man,
what are they on over there?
Turn this Full House shit on. Just kidding.
Can we please put Good Times on?
Can we? Man. Where is JJ from Good
for
Times?
I feel like I know I say, but the TV we grew up on. I'm older than you, but man, Good Times, The Jeffersons. What's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
All in the Family.
Man. All in the Family.
Cheers, Taxi. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. It was great fucking comedy.
Yes,
it was great
comedy.
Fucking comedy.
Great comedy.
Great comedy.
It was. Yeah, I don't remember because I think I would just go up to my room and my adoptive father, he loves, gosh, so lame. He loves the Hallmark Channel.
Nah.
Bro, yeah.
Man, because he's like, why is that white dude giving us a like, bad look?
Man.
That's some shit you would joke about.
And it's
about
so funny, my younger sisters and I, like they.
Hallmark Christmas shit's coming up, y'all.
Y'all need to calm down in that.
Another lady with a bad boyfriend. I love these shows.
But it's always like, because he's always like, there's always a happy ending. I'm like, so?
Yeah, like, there's that shit on other networks.
But you know, but like, and it's so funny because my siblings now, on my adoptive side, they're all like not about it anymore. You know, they used to be. They used to sit there with them and watch, and I'm like, man, I can't.
Our weeks are filled with deadlines, responsibilities, and just stress in general, but it's football season. And when the weekend hits, you've got to protect your chill. So this season, make time to chill out and catch the game at your favorite bar. And while you're at it, order an ice cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Coors Light's the perfect beer to sit around with your friends, crack them open, talk a little smack, watch the games, all right? So whether your team is a powerhouse with a record to keep or an underdog with a point to prove, one thing's for sure, it's going to be a hell of a season. Stay refreshed through all the action, because no matter how your team fares, after the clock runs out, a Coors Light in your hand means you're winning every time. Protect your chill this season with Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/honeydew. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I've got Joe Burrow throwing for more than 263 yards this week. I think he's going to have another good game. Lamar Jackson, he's going to be throwing for more than 220. This kid's probably going to be one of the MVP front runners. And Mark Andrews, that's just my guy. He's going to catch more than 65 yards this week. Those are my picks. Prize Picks format is simple and easy to understand.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So even if you aren't a sports fanatic, you can play. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And there are projections for any sports you watch. NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, y'all, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. They're safe and fast withdrawal, and it's currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Honeydew. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks going to give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks going to give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Honeydew at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the number of plastic bottles and containers you throw away? Ever thought about purchasing more eco-friendly products but didn't know where to start? Well, if you answered yes to either of these questions, meet Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastics by reinventing home essentials that are good for you and the planet. Blue Land's innovative tablet refill solution takes up 10 times less space than a traditional bottle, and their powerful formulas keep your home clean and smelling great. The idea is simple. You grab one of the forever bottles, you fill it with warm water, you drop in the tablet, and you get cleaning. Refills start at $2, and you don't have to buy a new plastic bottle every time you run out. You can even set up a subscription so you never run out of the products you use the most. From cleaning sprays to hand soap to toilet cleaner and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with ingredients you can feel good about. Try their Clean Essentials Kit, which is everything you need to get started. Products come in refreshing signature scents like iris agave, fresh lemon, and eucalyptus mint. And for a limited time, their hand soap is getting a summer upgrade with three refreshing new scents: strawberry rhubarb, citrus patchouli, and coconut palm. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you go to blueland.com/honeydew. That's 15% off your first order of any Blue Land products at blueland.com/honeydew. blueland.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew. Now, do your siblings and your adoptive siblings, have you all mixed families? Have you crossed, hung out? Nothing.
No.
Never.
Never that.
So you were, what, 17, you said, roughly, when you finally
moved in with them?
And how long are you with them?
I pretty much moved, because I went away to college to go cheer in Texas.
Where?
Trinity Valley. Okay. It's the you know that docuseries Cheer?
Yeah. I know of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the school that...
That's
one of the schools that they're talking about is the school I cheered
at. So that's a big deal
for
cheering.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. So... And then I went on to University of Louisville, but I didn't even finish there because that's where I started stand up. But I pretty much fully moved out when I was 25.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when I moved out from
there. So you were there 7-8 years with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time was a good experience?
Yeah, great experience. A lot of learning. It did take me a while to get used to the loving. That took a little bit. And I think...
Were they huggy? Were they a huggy family?
Or? Yeah, and they would praise, and I'm like, quit doing that. You know, like whenever I did something good, and it's just the way they did it. Yeah. And I was like, hey, stop that. Why you say it like that? You know, like, but that's just how they show affection and love. And that's fair, you know, but I wasn't about it. Like, I remember, I don't know, I did something right. I don't know if I got like a good grade on something. And it's like, oh my God, that's amazing. Look at you. And I'm like, hey.
Yeah, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I was like, don't do that. You know? I was like, you know, it really felt like those TV shows that they were watching.
Right. Yeah.
But now it, you know, I get it and stuff, and I'm used to it now. But that took a while to get used to that. And, you know, their youngest daughter, her and I connected a lot because, you know, I would get home from school early and she, you know, she's a little baby. I call her baby. And so her and I would just be at the house all the time, you know, because I'd be home early from school and I would just play with her and never really did that before either, you know, and she considers me like, yeah, I mean, not even considers, yeah, I'm her brother. She tells everyone, all of her friends about me. You know, she's 19 now, I think. Yeah, something like that. But she tells all her friends about me. She I'm like her, you know, her rock, which is pretty cool. And I remember, because my voice is loud, and I didn't know, you know, and I would talk aggressive, And I remember one time, just this little situation where I was going out to clean the backyard, you know, and I was just used to cleaning. Like that was a pretty, you know, thing. That was a thing that we did in our household, you know, with my biological and stepfather. Like we just understood like cleaning was a thing. And I remember I was going to clean the backyard and she wanted to chill out, hang out outside while I would clean the backyard. And I was like, no, you ain't going outside with me. And then she started crying. I was like, wait, why are you crying? I just said you can't go outside.
It's a hallmark.
But I didn't know because my voice was so aggressive. Yeah. But I wasn't even mad. Right. But it was just aggressive.
Bro, I've been dealing with that my whole life. I'm like, I'm not mad. Yeah. What is it? Why does everybody think I'm mad right now? Yeah. Like, you're yelling. I'm like, I'm not yelling. Yeah. You haven't heard me yell.
Yeah. And I didn't know what to do. And I was like, oh, man, she's crying. I was like, I didn't mean to make this little baby cry. And then I remember I picked her up. And I was like, oh, okay, it's okay. You know, and I remember... I was like, you know what? You can come outside with me. And then she kissed me on the cheek. And I was like, what? And it was such a moment to where I've never, ever in my life felt that. It was like this. It was love.
Yeah, it was pure love.
That was pure love. And I didn't know how to react. I was just like, oh, we'll go outside. You know, and to this, you know, to this day, it's one of those emotional things for me because, yeah, coming where I come from, that was never a thing. Right. I'm telling you, we didn't say, I love you. We didn't hug.
Good job.
Good job.
Yeah.
None of that was ever said.
All negative. All negative. All the time.
So, you know, to feel that, that was the first moment I ever felt something like that.
You mentioned anger management.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how it helped you and what did you learn from it? I'm curious.
You know, I learned a lot of great things in anger management. And I would say the overall take. So I've had three different anger management teachers. Shout out. I had one. My first one was in high school. The second one and the other two were in college. Yeah. When I was like in my 20s. And no, I didn't. You know, say, hey, I want to go to anger management. They put me in
sure,
there.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, because everyone asks that. They're like, oh, you put yourself in there? I put myself in there. But the beautiful thing about anger management is it taught me, and there's still things that because I haven't gone since my 20s, but there's still things to this day that I take with me. And the overall take is put it all on you. Put it all on you. Don't make it about anyone else, you know. And I say that in a sense, like when I think about my situation with my stepfather, how about I do right? How about I don't follow in those footsteps and follow that cycle? Why don't I just be a good person? Don't make it about being angry at him. Don't make it about that at all. How about I just do that? And when I was able to figure that out, I grew this empathy for my stepfather. And I started to learn and ask questions about where he came from because I never knew.
Asking him these questions?
No, I would ask my mom.
Okay.
My mom knows pretty much, I mean, they were together for years. But once I had learned about him, I was just like, oh, damn. I was like, well, this guy, I think he, and I'm not trying to make an excuse or, you know, justify what he did because what he did wasn't good. But he went through some shit and he thought he was doing right. You know what I mean? And he would say these things all the time to my mom. Like, he was like, why does he think I was a good dad? You know, like I was a good dad. And I used to get so mad at that question. And I was like, how delirious is he? And then I thought about it. His dad wasn't around. His dad didn't even come near him.
Right. So,
the fact that he was there, he felt like he was doing right.
Right. Going from zero to one, I'm like, well, I'm doing good.
Yeah, he thought he was doing good. I'm like, bro, you suck.
Do you even know what channel my Hallmark is?
Right, yeah.
Do you even know what channel number it is?
No, but, you know, and it made me feel this way about him that I don't think I've ever felt. Because I felt so much hate towards him, and I wanted to go after this man. I wanted to attack this man. I wanted him to just not exist. I wanted all that. But then I thought about it, and you know, because I honestly through comedy in a weird way, I started doing these jokes about my abusive childhood. And then I noticed when I was on stage, you know, as you're working jokes, you know, you shit just bombs and it was bombing. I was like, I hate the fact that it bombs. And then I was like, well, why do people not connect with it? And then I would listen back to some of the shit and I would think about it. And I go, oh, I sound angry. I sound like I'm still hurt. I sound like I'm upset. And I go, what if I wasn't? And so then it made me just dig and dig and dig and understand more and more and more about him. And then even, you know, to this day, and like even current date, he and I are cool.
You are?
Yeah.
What was the first time you had a good conversation?
I don't know if it was a good conversation as much as it was just like, I accepted the fact that I looked at everything I had right in front of me, right? I looked at everything in my life and I go, I'm fine. And when I was able to do that, I think it wasn't even anything as just much as I shook his hand when I saw him. And that caught him off guard.
Did it?
Yes. You know, the fact that I shook his hand. And I was just like, hey, how you doing? And obviously with that tone and that energy, you know, because obviously he feels something, mm-hmm. you know, some sort of guilt, but he didn't get what I got. He didn't get an anger management teacher.
Right.
He didn't get these things. And
probably, you know, didn't even exist, that shit. Back then.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? They beat his ass up.
Right? Yeah.
I'll teach you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now go be a daddy. Yeah. But yeah, man, it just. And I found the beauty in just going, you know what? I'm fine and I'm okay. And I know you've been through some shit and I understand that. And I don't even take anything that happened in the past personal. And that's taking a lot of work.
Dude, okay.
That wasn't overnight. It's taking a lot of work.
How'd he take it?
I mean, he's still like, you know, at times he's a little quiet around me, you know, because he doesn't know what to say.
But you can be in the same room together.
Yeah, I can say anything.
Good.
Yeah, why not? I got his number.
Yeah,
I'll text you. What's up?
Does he ever hit you up about your, like, man, your fucking brother's fucking up? Or talk to him? Does he ever ask you to talk to them or anything?
No, nothing like that. Yeah. I mean, my brother, they reach out to me in general. They've kind of just looked at me as like the, you know, respectfully with no arrogance as like a North Star. You know, they kind of look up to me.
Good.
And because, you know, it was our oldest brother that we all kind of, in a sense, looked up to because, I mean, he's the oldest and, you know, he was moving in ways, you know, that just like you look at an older sibling and, you know, and so I think when he had passed, you know.
Yeah,
tell me
about that.
So, you know, my brother.
This is your biological, you said. Okay.
Biological brother, you know, my only full-blooded sibling. And, you know, that was a tough one, you know, because when I think about my brother and I, he and I went through some shit together, you know, especially in the home. You know, with our stepfather and going through that thing together and then losing him, man, really, that was a tough one. I felt like I lost my soul. He was the only full-blooded sibling I had. He was like my protector, you know, like, I mean, there's times I'd be, you know, getting in a fight, right? And he would roll up and me and this dude are squaring up. And he would always swing on this dude before I could. And I'm like, you know, it's my fight. You know, hey, man, you know, I could throw a hand or two, you know. But he was just like that. He didn't like seeing. And I think that's just protective. Because of what we, you know, what we were going through. Because he couldn't do anything to our stepfather because he was bigger than us. So, like, when he sees someone, you know, just squaring up with his little brother in a way to where it's like, and he would just snap. You know, and unfortunately, you know, he had gotten into pills.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, which is an easy thing to get into, especially where we grew up, you know, poor area, you know, that's just what it was. You know, from my earliest memories, I think everybody was just kind of on some shit. And, you know, my brother has some demons, you know, but he was a great fucking guy. And he didn't get what I got either. You know, he didn't get the anger management or someone to necessarily talk to. You know, I would try to share things to him whenever, you know, whatever I learned through the anger management and stuff.
How old was he when he passed?
He was 28.
28.
He was 28 and I was 26.
Do you remember how?
Yeah. I remember exactly where I was. I was flying to Florida to go compete at a cheer comp for a world title.
For a world title?
Yeah, yeah. Nah. Yep. And then when I got off my flight and I was in baggage claim, I had a message on my phone and it was from a police officer. And I guess they found my brother. He OD'd in his apartment.
Man, I'm sorry.
So what happened was my brother had a struggle with pills for quite some time. He was like on and off, right? And then he had got a really good job working for Budweiser in the factory. Like, you know, he was on one of them, what do you call them damn things they were driving around the factory?
Forklifts.
Yeah. He was on one of them. I was like, damn, bro, what was that thing called he did? Shit. Let me call him up. No, just kidding. So he was, you know, he worked a really good job. He was so excited for this job because he fought hard to get this job. And it was a hard one to get. You know, it wasn't an easy one to get. And then when he finally got it, he was going straight. You know, he was doing all, you know, all the correct things. And I think, you know, based off what they expressed to me, he just had a night and he took a dose that he would normally take, but he had been off it for a while. So
I see. And it was toxic.
So it was toxic. Yeah. So like there wasn't any struggle as much as it just stopped his heart. So when he I got that call. I called and, you know, I got the message on my phone. They were like, hey, can you give us a call when you get a chance? I call and no one knew yet. And meanwhile, like I was flying from, you know, the West Coast to Florida. So that's a 6-hour flight.
Right.
So no one knew. No one had any information.
Because the cops called you.
They called me.
I see.
Because I was like the guy, right. You know,
he next made me of the, kin.
Yeah. Next of kin, yes. And so.
Emergency contact, whatever.
Yeah, emergency, yeah. And so. But yeah, when I got that call and they told me what happened, and obviously I was in baggage claim and I was in shock and I'm like, man, I'm like, what the hell? Like, I was like, are you sure it's him? You know? And that's like the first question anyone would ask.
Sure.
You know, naturally it's like, what, you sure? You know, but they were more than sure, obviously. And, I remember I was like, man, I got two decisions. You know, I'm going to compete for this world title for cheerleading, something I'd been doing for years, and, you know, still didn't have Marissa, so kept going.
Marissa's long gone.
Yeah, she's long gone. I'm still going. Yeah, you know, I'm still trying. Eh? You know, maybe a world title would be like, oh, damn. Maybe that'd impress her. Yeah. What about this? And I decided to do the competition.
You did?
Yes, and only for one reason. My brother was the only person in my family that ever seen me compete. He was the only one in my family that came to my competitions. So I was just like, okay, I'll do this.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And that was not easy, you know, and I was very quiet. No one knew.
You didn't tell anyone.
Just my team knew, you know, but people would see me around and, you know, they just noticed I was very different, very quiet. But yeah, it was... You know, that was a tough one. That was, and to be able to hold myself together, you know, through that. Granted, it was cheerleading, but still, you know, and we won the world title.
You did?
Yeah, we won.
Fuck yeah, yeah, man. I was going to ask. Congrats.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a world title. You're a world championship cheerleader.
Yeah.
Is that how? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, I got rings. Yeah, I got rings, dog. No.
Wow, what, did Marissa ever come back?
No, she did not.
She didn't give a fuck.
I was like, damn, I got a ring.
I quit cheerleading 3 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. She's long gone. She's done. Family, married, kids. She was like, you still do that? Oh, that's crazy.
Good for you. You made the right decision.
Yeah. You know, and it felt good. And so after that, that's when it all hit me. It all hit me. It hit me pretty hard, you know, because I got a huge check for his death because he made me the beneficiary on his life insurance. And I had got a huge check, and I fucking hated having that money.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I hated it.
Yep.
It was,
I get that.
It was, and so I was down. I was down, man. I was, my soul was just ripped apart. Because like I said, my brother was, you know, like my protector. You know what I mean? And you just don't think that's going to happen to someone. And then I was like, who? I don't have anyone for protection. You know, I was like, I don't have that protector anymore. You know, and when you lose that, it's like, I don't know, man. I didn't want to kill myself. I didn't want to do self-harm, but I just didn't want to exist. I didn't want to be around. I didn't want to, I had planned on moving to some random town somewhere and just living a normal, regular life, paycheck to paycheck, and just that. That's what I wanted to do, you know? And oddly enough, through that money I had, I just started helping people. I just started giving people money, not just like, hey, you know, you get, but like, if I just notice someone in need, I just be like, here you go. You know, hey, let me get that for you. Let me catch that. I just did that. And then that started making me feel better. I just started organically.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, oh, I just did something for somebody. No, it was just, you know, the fact that I could do something for someone else made me feel better. And it takes you out of this, it takes you out of these, like, these individual thoughts that you're having that are just about you and you. Mm-hmm. No, and you have to take care of you, but also I think if you have the strength and ability to do so and to help someone out, even if you don't have the money that I had, I mean, even someone that's just, you see some people outside moving a couch and they're struggling with it and you go over and help them and it's just something and you're not wanting any reward from it. You're not wanting any, I don't, like that was my thing. I was like, I don't want anything for it. I just hate looking at this bank account.
Mm-hmm.
I hate opening up my bank or looking at my bank account and just seeing all this money.
It's interesting you say that because I totally, again, you resonate with me because here you are living for a while with a family in a home that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Now you got money that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking, it's interesting.
Yeah. Cause this is how I thought of it. I was like, you know what? I could get, it was 75 grand. And I was like,
I didn't want to ask.
Oh, no. You.
I don't want to ask.
I know everybody's like, ask him. No, I'll say it. I don't care. I could get 75 grand again, but I can't get my brother back.
That's it. I'd rather have my brother than
Yes. 75 grand.
I think anybody. Well, most you know, people.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
everybody.
Not everybody. Not everybody. Yeah. Some people got some weird siblings. No, I'd rather that. And there's just this spirit in me that all of a sudden I was in a sense a little bit able to feel what it was like to protect somebody for a moment of time. Even though it wasn't as much as my brother protected me, I was able to feel that, you know, just by helping a person out that was struggling with a bill or something and, you know, needed anything. And I just like, there, you know, just take that. You know, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. You don't have to tell anybody I gave you that, but just take that. And some people did think I was crazy. You know what I mean? But I'm like, if you were in that situation, you felt the way I feel about this. Yeah, you feel the way I feel about this, then you probably wouldn't say that.
Well, also, I mean, when I say it means more to them than it does to you, it really does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, those people need that money.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck this money.
Yeah.
It means more to them.
You get joy out of that. Yeah.
So if you have a bunch of money and you're not getting any joy out of having a bunch of money and then giving some to people that helps them mm-hmm. gives you joy, then there's a purpose for this money now.
Yeah.
And well, that could make you feel good about having this
exactly.
money.
Exactly. I got my soul back.
Right.
I was able to rebuild my soul.
Yes.
You know, in a dope way, to where I felt good about myself. You know, I was, and like I said, I didn't want anything from it, but someone just reaching out and say, hey, that really did a lot for me when you did that. I appreciate that. That meant a lot. Like, you didn't have to do that, you know? And just hearing that from someone, like, almost just makes you just grow into a selfless person. You know, and try to help people as best as you can.
Yeah.
And anyone that, like, I don't know, you know, everyone's different, but I know when I was depressed, there was something about helping others that just helped myself in the weirdest way. I don't know how to explain it. I haven't gotten that far yet. But when I do figure it out and able to break it down,
That goes back to the empathy that you developed because if you didn't, you would be like, fuck these people. I'm not helping anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's freeing.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I like to do it as much as I can. Anytime I can. Mm-hmm. I was in Cleveland. We bought tickets to the fucking, I always want to say Toy Story, Christmas Story house. Mm-hmm. And then I'm standing outside and Eva and I are out there and I'm smoking a joint and I'm like, I don't want to go in and tour that house. Like, it's a movie set. It's not a real house.
Oh,
it's a movie set inside. I didn't know that either. So people are like, yeah, it's kind of not. I was like, oh, I thought this was an authentic home we were going to walk through. I was like, I'm smoking a joint in front of the Christmas Story house. This is all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I see this family with kids and it's expensive. So I go and the kids get in free. So I went over and I was like, because their kids were like, can we go? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, here, take my tickets. And
oh, wow.
Take your fucking kids in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to smoke weed out.
And that's all you
needed.
To do. Yeah.
It's all I needed.
Yeah, I'm all
about
that. And
then to see them go and take their kids. I mean, that meant more to me. And they're going to remember that.
Yeah.
You know?
There's something about that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't fully explain it to people, like, the exact feeling of what it is. But it's a feel good feeling. It does something to the soul in a way that, you know,
and it will come back to you.
I just wanted to put that energy out there.
We
to
had
those
family
people.
Members that stole, I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars from us when people died. And over the years, it eventually came back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a different way, but it came back.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I'm without that money for the rest of my life. It came back.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, fuck y'all.
Yeah, now what? But you spent it all.
Let me ask you this. How are you and your mom today? How's your relationship?
Man, our relationship is beautiful.
Good.
It is one of the coolest relationships I think I have today because, man, we, like, I think there was just so much that wasn't talked about. And due to my brother's passing, that's when her and I reconnected. Because I saw something in her that I've never seen before. I think I always saw a sadness in my mom. And when I think about it now,
mm-hmm.
With being in that house. But I saw something she lost her firstborn.
Yeah.
A child that, you know, she created and she did the best that she could to take care of, you know what I mean? And watching that look on her face, I was just like, damn. And then I was like, and then it made me think about everything that she went through. And all of a sudden I saw it. I was just like, oh, wow. She was going through it too. she was going through it with, you know, with my stepfather, but just not in the way that I was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the, just because she, you know, we weren't going through it the same way doesn't mean nothing was like her, doesn't mean her world was positive. And so to see and understand that, I was just like, damn. So I would just call her every day, you know, and before, whenever I would try to call her, because like I said, I used to be 50-50 with her, and I was like, I'll call her. Let me call my mom. I was like, I'm all the way out in this state, you know, this random state. She don't know where I'm at. I was like, let me call her. And it was tough to have conversations.
Yeah.
It'd be like 3 minutes. And I'd be like, I'm done with this, you know. But now, I call her, you know, twice a week. You know, she only lived 5 hours away in Arizona. Yeah. But we talk for a long time. We talk for a good while, you know. And I love it. You know what I mean? It's really cool. And even with my biological father, reconnecting with him.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
So that was shortly after my brother's death as well. I was 29.
Was your dad out at that point?
Yeah, he was out. He was out. I think he had been out for 10 years.
Okay.
When my brother died, he already had been out for like 10 years. And so I didn't know anything about him. I knew he existed. I'd seen him a couple times, you know, and knew about him on Facebook, but I was always quiet around him. I didn't say much, never had really much anything to say. I kind of just was like, because I was like, I didn't know about the guy,
right.
You know? So it's like weird. It's like, I know he's my dad. I know that, but I don't know. I just don't know anything about him. And I don't know what it was. I was friends with him on Facebook, and he would post these like pictures from when he was younger, like pictures of like from when he was locked up or when he was, you know, doing the shit that he was doing. And finally I was just like, I just reached out to him. I said, can I interview you? And he was like, I would love that.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And then I remember driving to his house because he had lived like an hour and a half away from me. I was just like, okay, if it goes bad, then you can say you tried. Mm-hmm. That's it. If it goes bad, you can say you tried. Because you think about that. You think like, I don't know how this is going to go. But when I thought about it, I was like, you know, if it goes bad, you can say you tried. It's not like he was in your life already. So it's just like, all right, whatever. And so go over there and I just asked him anything and everything.
And he answered it?
He answered everything.
What sticks out that you really remember the most?
Probably that shootout he had with that some Colombian drug lord.
What? Was he really?
Yeah. Jesus, he had some crazy Christ. Shootout with some Colombian drug lord. Oh, yeah. God. Something wild. I don't know if he was Colombian or Cuban. I don't know. He had some shootout. And then he said they came and shot up his house after whatever. He never saw the dude again, but it was a guy that he had worked under, you know, and then that was one that I was like, oh, damn. Okay, you real deal.
So where is he now?
He's in Arizona.
And do you still talk to him?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, talk to him all the time.
So you have a good relationship with your biological father.
We talk all the time.
You're on solid ground with stepdad.
Yeah.
And you're in a great place with mom.
Yep, and my adopted folks.
And how old are you?
I'm 35.
Good for you, dude.
Yeah.
And your adoptive folks. Yeah.
Yeah. My adoptive folks, too.
You tied them all together.
Yeah. Like, every, you know, it is weird because, like, I do feel equally about all of them in a way to where I'm like, yeah, this is my family. Mm-hmm. And my mom doesn't get weird about my adoptive folks. My mom doesn't get weird about, you know, with my stepdad or biological father. Like, no one gets weird about those situations, you know, because it's because they all love me.
Right.
They all know that, you know, the kid that they all have a part of their life is trying his best, you know.
Did your mom and dad connect a little bit over your brother's passing?
A little bit.
They talk a little bit at least.
A little bit, yeah, because, I mean, yeah.
That's their child.
Their firstborn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to see, you know, my biological father deal with that too, because he had said something. he told me when he was in prison, he goes, man, like, he goes, all I thought about, it's like, I have kids. You know, it got to a point, because he was in survival mode. Mm-hmm. You know, he was locked up in a very tough prison in Arizona, and he was just constant in survival mode. He was just like, man, I got kids, and I want to be in their lives. But he's just like, but I'm here. You know, eventually he studied law because he was supposed to be serving a life sentence. So he studied law and found out the system had messed up in some way. Something with signing people off when they're like, I don't know the details, but like you can Google it. And, but he studied law and basically got himself out.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
But he went back in. See, he went I didn't tell you that part. He went back in. He went back in.
Out that yeah. time.
No, not that time.
They're like, we're not going to fuck up this time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, bro, you studied to get yourself, and you went back.
How do you do all that work to go right back?
I know, man. I was like, you worked your ass off, good, read dude. 20 books.
That's too good. Dude, thank you for coming on and sharing your story. Yeah, this has been great, man.
This is great, man.
All right. I mentioned at the beginning before we started recording, after everything we've talked about here now, what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
What advice would I give to 16-year-old self? Take more deep breaths. I say that because I do that now. If I feel like I see a situation that's in front of me that's, you know, to where I'm like, it's like, you know, tense, I just go, I just keep doing that. And I think I wish that was something I knew as a kid, because that tension was so heavy.
Yeah.
All the time. You know, I just wish I didn't have my guard up so strongly and aggressive, because there were so many great people that I think I missed out on growing up that were trying to, you know, also show love and help. And I think I would, you know, yeah, love to tell that kid, take a deep breath and see those people over there. They're good people. They're good people too. You know, and I think I've, you know, due to my aggression and just being a rescue, mm-hmm. I was just aggressive all the time. And there's some good people I think I missed out on.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Again, thank you. Please plug everything you want.
Yeah. At Chappelle Lacey on Instagram, ChappelleLacey.com for my website, tour dates, all that stuff. I think October 13th through the 15th, I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina at Good Nights. And then October 21st and 22nd, Milwaukee Improv. And then November 17th, a one-nighter at Irvine Improv.
Very nice.
Yeah. Come here, we talk some shit.
Yeah, go see him. And as always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.